The Grateful Two. That's us. I'm Mary.
It really is The Grateful Two. I'm Tom, and I am totally grateful.
Mary and Tom Warren, The Grateful Two. This is our first podcast, a little introduction to ourselves, what our interest is in having a podcast, what we hope our listeners get out of it, and what we hope to put into it and get out of it ourselves. Yes? No? What do you think, Tom?
Absolutely. Are you talking about how did we get the word gratitude into the title?
I did, because grateful is a version of gratitude. We chose not to say gratitude because the gratitude, too, is a little awkward.
It is a little bit, yeah.
So we went with the grateful, too. So we talked about that today. What did we want to call this podcast? What did we think best defined us as individuals and as a couple? And you came up with grateful, too. Where did that come from for you?
Well, I guess, I could go back pretty far to get to the roots of how come I'm so grateful. But my most recent gratitude has to do with surviving about a sepsis. 8 days ago, I was in the hospital, and they took my emergency gallbladder out.
They took an emergency gallbladder out?
Well, it was an emergency, and they took the gallbladder out, so... As they took it out because I had sepsis or something like that. You know the story better than I do.
Right. You had an infection in your gallbladder, which we were unaware of. We had no idea that you even had a gallbladder issue or problem. You never seemed to have exhibited any symptoms of gallbladder problems.
Right.
So it really took us by surprise. And for our listeners, Tom also lives with ALS. Amyotrophic lateral sclerosis, and has lived well with it for 8.5 years. So we're very tuned in to ALS as part of our life. We live around the ALS as best we can. And the night that you showed that you had all those big symptoms of contractions and pain, we thought it was a massive ALS contraction in your body.
Yeah.
And little did we know, it was an infection that was festering in your gallbladder, and you were probably passing a gallbladder stone when the initial attack happened, when the initial contractions of your body. So, one of those sayings, long story short, sepsis was brutal for you. Yeah. I don't have to go into all of the intricate details of it at this point. Maybe at a later podcast we'll talk about that, but
yeah.
It certainly left us feeling grateful. Well, for me, grateful tonight. Yeah. Means that you're here with me tonight.
Right.
I thought for sure that 2 weeks ago that I would be a widow.
Right. Well, he did say I was a day away from gangrene, and they saved my life is what happened. But we didn't know going in that it was going to rise to that level. But here we are, grateful that the two guys, Gaylord and Tyler, were there to take the task, and they did.
Those are two surgeons.
Two surgeons, Gaylord and Tyler, whom are my new heroes now.
So we're grateful. That brings us to the grateful two, because there's two of us. And we are grateful too, as in also. We are grateful also that
right.
We are here.
Right.
A lot of great play on words, which we're good at. Tom and I have been married for 38 and a half years.
Yes.
Probably more than the half year now, closer to 39 years
right.
than we are to 38 years.
Yes.
Or even 38 and a half years.
Right.
We madly fell in love.
Yes, we did.
30 days after meeting, you proposed.
Yes, I did.
And it was such a great proposal. Can't be shared publicly, but it was a really good proposal when I said yes. And we hid our engagement for months.
Yeah.
And then we had a lot of opposition when we shared it with, at the time, what our world was, which was our families and a few close friends. My mom about had a heart attack, yeah. Like a gallbladder heart attack.
The conventional naysayers were standing in line to warn us. But
mm-hmm. They thought we'd never last.
No, we won that part of the game.
And here we are, so many years later.
Grateful.
Yeah, we're good. We're good together. And one of the aspects that we like about podcasts, we listen to a few ourselves, podcasts, is what? What do you like about podcasts?
Well, podcasts are really cool. I feel like I'm listening to old AM radio or old FM radio back in the day when FM radio was an open, vast wasteland of radio. You could have somebody on FM radio, like in the early 70s, at night could have a six-hour show, and they might play two or three record albums and get 2 hours of airtime. You could hear an entire record album. What he could do an interview with a guitarist or a guitar player or a band or something, and the interview would go on commercial free for an hour or more, just talking, and it was so cool to have that available. That's of course all vanished now, but podcasts have that sort of sense to them where if you find something that's interesting and you're dialing the dial and you hear a podcast come in, and it catches you for a minute, it could be great. I love podcasts. I just like the spontaneity of them. And like the old school nature of the way podcasts sound.
I do too. I like how podcasts, there's such an array of podcasts out there to choose from. You can listen to health podcasts. I tend to like the crime ones. I think they're interesting because different than what you see on television, like you said, because there are no commercials. Mm-hmm. But they tend to dig real deep into the stories of the crime, and you don't get that on television. Plus, you have to use your imagination. You get to create your own images of what you think is happening and what you think the criminal looks like and what the victims might have looked like. And it lends a little bit more toward you participating in the podcast in your own way.
Yeah.
So they explain what's happening, but then you have to fill in some of the pieces, which is kind of old school television.
Yeah, on some of these crime driven podcasts, what's lacking is the typical Hollywood scripted nature of the way the story is unfolded to you. So in a 60-minute drama, you get 38 minutes of show and the rest is commercial television. Or if it's a true detective, a true story of crime, even that still has to give over to some kind of a formula to present the information to you. But on a podcast, it's like you're sitting around with your friends talking about something. And there's an anticipation because as the story unfolds, you might have a wonder, something may occur to you. Gee, I wonder what happened to that guy, how that happened. And then in 2 minutes, they address it and they answer the question. So I just dig podcasts, and I like doing this one, especially with you. I couldn't do it with anybody else, so.
Well, I like them, too, and especially because for us, you and I, mm-hmm. we're home a lot. And right now that you're recovering from sepsis, we do need to keep you away from the public. So there's a lot of flu
right
where we live. We live in North Carolina, and they're hit pretty hard with the flu here. We don't want to put you in contact with people who are sick and with your immune system trying to repair itself. For that reason, we're home a little bit more. But ALS alone has us, that in and of itself, without adding sepsis to our life, has us more at home. I work remotely. Mm-hmm. I've been a teacher online for 6 years, and then I left teaching last spring, and I now work for a nonprofit organization trying to help better policies, VA policies for veterans with ALS, of which you are one, a veteran with ALS.
Right.
And that will soon come to an end. But our life is a little bit smaller in that way. Our world is a little smaller, and podcasts get us out there.
Yeah.
So we don't know who's going to listen to us. That's kind of cool.
Right.
Right? Because they're global. And. Mm-hmm. And or at least national, so I suppose I should do a little bit of research on how far a reach a podcast has. Mm-hmm. We want listeners to message us as well, so we can hear from them and they can ask us questions. We're pretty open.
Yeah,
we're really big on creating awareness about ALS and now sepsis.
Yeah,
and then we have within those roles of being a married couple, we also have other defined roles as a caregiver and care recipient. They're like sub-roles of our big role in life.
Yeah, opposite sides of the same coin. I should say this to people that are listening, my voice sounds a little bit light and a little bit flat, and that's got to do with just right now being post-surgical. So I don't really have the oomph in my diaphragm to enunciate properly. And I am a little bit flat. This is not 100% normal Tom. Tom is somewhat more exuberant and talkative than you're hearing right now, but this is all post-surgical, so.
Well, it's okay. We love you anyway.
Well, thank you.
Well, I mean, I love you anyway.
I know that you do. Yeah.
I think our listeners will love you anyway. I think they'll find out that you have, you probably could talk about anything.
Yes, I could talk to a post, and if the post won't listen, I'll just talk anyway.
And you talk like when you're ready to go to bed, you're talking, and when you wake up in the morning, you continue that conversation.
Right.
But
right.
What's the new rule we have about the morning?
Well, I could have a 3-day conversation, but I'm not allowed to talk in the morning at 6 o'clock.
Because that interferes with my first cup of coffee.
Right. So, you know, what am I going to say? I got to say nothing. I'm not allowed to talk, so I can't say nothing.
You have to let one cup of caffeine float through my body in silence.
Okay.
Before we can have a conversation.
Now you're busting my gut because I laughed there, and it's like I've got a knife stab in the gut again, so that's what hurts.
Okay, so some of the other topics that, among many that we'll talk about, that we just can't even imagine what they are right now, but some of the topics that we will cover in our podcast will be about how you paint, how you became a painter, why you paint, oil painting, how many years you've been painting, how you learned to paint, what it means, what it meant in your life, and what it means now.
Right.
And that it's not all based on talent, as is the common phrase when people look at your paintings. They say, he's so talented. But when we know you may have talent, we agree there's talent there, but there's an awful lot of effort that went into it for a lot of years. And you also enjoy, what else do you spend your time doing?
I dabble with guitars. I like the blues guitar, and I've been playing that for a while. I can't play not even one song, but to be honest about it, to be fair to myself, I haven't tried to play even one song, to master one song. I don't want to do that. What I wanted to do was I wanted to know how someone can pick up a guitar and play what he hears in his head. How does that transition go from his brain to his fingers and come out to us as music? What the hell is going on? What magic is going on there? And it's not as easy as I thought. I'm on page 3, and it's closing in on 3 years now, and I'm not making a lot of progress. I have had help from people who are paid, not paid informants, but paid paid teachers, and it didn't work. Four different teachers, it didn't work. So most of what I've discovered is on my own, and so right now I'm playing around with now. I've discovered, of course, what everybody else will realize, the pentatonic scale. Everything else is fluff in the guitar world. Everything is based on the pentatonic scale, but if they would tell you that up front and to begin with, I could have saved 2.5 years. But I didn't know it then, but I know it now, so now I know it. And go ahead, now play around. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm currently doing. I'm practicing the pentatonic scale, hoping to get acquainted with the blues and to have, of course, my memory shot, but, you know, that's what I'm doing right now on the guitar.
Well, we can talk about why your memory is shot at a later time. It's another health issue that you had early on, about 25 years ago. So we could address that on another podcast. Will we hear you play some music at some point on a podcast?
I would like to, but I would also have to feel like I have some modicum of authority over what I'm going to play. It's not going to be a half-hour orchestra or anything, but it's going to be me banging around some little pentatonic tune that I discovered for myself. But it has to be repeatable. I have to be able to remember it or write it down so that I can repeat it again and do what they call get it under your fingers.
Well, I think we'd be game for you to just, I could, you know, record it and then we could edit through. Mm. I think you could make up some. You're going to sing for us too?
I would love to sing, but okay. I don't know what the audience... we'll be able to tolerate it, but we'll try. We'll give
we'll
it
try.
A
try. Well, we won't share it if it's going to torture people. So it has to be good.
It won't be that bad. It'll be elementary blues, just like nothing slick, nothing fancy, just like, let's see, we're in the year 1919, so just like 100 years ago, before preamplified music and electric music and stuff, there were people that sang and played the blues, and that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to emote.
You're talking about 100 years ago?
100 years ago,
okay.
Yeah, before people...
I was wondering where you got the 1919 from.
Yeah, before they were amplifying electric guitars and such. People sang the blues for a reason. They kept cadence in the fields as somebody who could sing was the leader, and he would call to the field workers, and they would answer him, doing a call and response, and they got a certain rhythm down, which we currently know today as the blues, which Americans got acquainted with through the British invasion in the 1960s, where their rock and roll was based on the American blues. So they ripped off the American blues and gave it back to us in the form of guys like Eric Clapton and such. So,
okay, you're traveling a little far field here for us.
Yeah, that's me. I need to be roped in.
Okay, I'm going to rein you in right now.
Okay.
So you served in the military?
I did.
Which
yes.
branch did you serve in?
I was in the Marine Corps.
And what years did you serve?
1972 to 1975.
And we know that ALS is service connected.
Yes, so ALS is what they call a presumptive disease. So as benevolent as they are, they presume that I got it from my service. So that's what that means.
Okay, so 1972 to 1975. We have two children.
Yeah, we do.
Sean
yes.
is our oldest.
Yep.
And he is a Sergeant First Class in the United States Army.
Yes.
His job in the Army right now is a drill instructor, but his classification is as an infantry soldier.
Yes.
And we have a daughter, Kate, mm-hmm. who is a second grade teacher out in the Charlotte area.
Right.
We have two grandchildren.
Yep.
Joseph, who's 5 and a half, and Lillian Rose, who will be 1 toward the end of March.
Right.
And we have a daughter-in-law, Courtney. So we have a growing family
right.
that we adore. We also have a pack of girls in the house.
Well, we're grateful for the family, but now you're getting close to the edge of grateful. But go ahead.
What you mean with the pack in the house?
Yeah, the so-called
okay,
pack,
so we're grateful for the family.
Yes.
And then we have a pack in the house.
Right, that's right.
We have Amelia, also known as Mimi. Amelia will be 7 years old in June. She is a mini dachshund, 8 pounds, mostly a happy dog. She barks sometimes, and sometimes we may hear that in our podcasts because I don't know how particular I'm going to be in cleaning up podcasts. And then we have Olivia, also known as Pinky, because under her white fur, she has a pink belly, so she got the nickname Pinky. Pinky would like to be the leader of the crew. She's 10 pounds-ish, also a mini dachshund. And then we have Madeline. Why don't you tell us a little bit about Madeline?
Madeline is a Labradorian retriever. She'll be 8 in May, and she's been with me for 6 years. She's a yellow Labrador retriever. Okay, just what I call her, a Labradorian retriever. She's a beautiful face. People have said to me, oh, her name must be Cleopatra because she wears so much eye makeup. And she does have that yellow lab look on her face where she has the dark eyes and just a beautiful smile. She's capable of smiling at the right time. And a nice curly coat on the back. She's a beautiful dog. And she was trained for 2 years before I got her to be my service dog. And they didn't know when a dog was coming to me. But she's done the job very, very well.
She came and visited you at the hospital.
Oh, yeah, she did. As soon as she came in the room, she knew she... There's a command we use to load up. And she just got on the bed immediately like it was a birthright.
Mm-hmm.
And all she did was just lay there, right on with her head on my legs. Her 80-pound head went on my legs. And she was as content as could be.
And you wouldn't have it any other way.
No, I wouldn't have it any other way. Right.
And I already spoke a little bit about what I do. I was a teacher. I was a teacher in the classroom for 7 years, and then I taught online from North Carolina Virtual Public School for 6 years. Before I was a teacher, I worked in healthcare, health management of various programs, the Duke Eye Center, and then up in New York at St. Luke's Cornwall Hospital. I have a couple of degrees that I like. I like them because I kind of liked collecting degrees for a few years. It was very hard work for me, and at some point, we'll share that in this, or perhaps in my other podcast, which is called This Caregiver Life. And I do another one with Jennifer McNay, Sarcasm Sisters. But probably in This Caregiver Life at some point, I will share more details about the challenges of getting a degree, my degrees, under the difficulties of you having been sick many years ago that led to your cognitive impairment.
Yeah, that should be a whole different, entirely different.
That's a whole different topic and story.
Yeah.
So we sound pretty serious tonight. We're mostly really not that serious. We have a lot of fun. We have a lot of laughs together. The things that I like to do for self-care is yoga. And I like to walk in the morning. I like photography. And I like to write. So I think that pretty much sums up who we are. And I'm grateful that we're still here. And we still have a rich relationship and marriage. And we haven't given up on each other. We haven't given in to despair when we easily could have. We have a lot of faith. And we can talk more about that in other podcasts, about how faith has driven us and some of our favorite phrases or our favorite scripture that we lean on in difficult times. I prayed a lot when I thought you were going to be a goner 2 weeks ago. Be 2 weeks ago tomorrow. On Sunday.
Oh my God, is it 2 weeks already?
Mm-hmm. I thought I was really going to lose you that day. Wow. So I prayed a lot. I played some music for us that was really beautiful music on my cell phone, on Spotify, Val Goldsack music. And that was pretty powerful. So that brings us to the grateful too. So we are two grateful people. And we'll be back next time for another session. We'll have a more focused topic. Today the focus was really on who we are.
Yeah, somewhat introductory, but I enjoyed it. Thank you.
It was good.